After we finish Pentecost and Trinity Sunday and those feasts that follow right away there, from then on until first Sunday of Advent, we are like living with the people of God, Old and New Testament, through these readings. It's if it's a regular day, we wear green, which is the sign of hope, and we live this time. And it's a flat time. The lessons are here every day for us. Some days, as in the last few, there seems to be a coalescence. I don't think the editors, maybe they did, but did it. Today, we have the sin of the leaders, the sin of presumption. Moses led them out in obedience to God, and they're out there, and you can hear what they're doing, huh? And they are complaining, complaining. That's why the whole area is called Meribah. Riv in Hebrew means contention. So this is the waters of contention, however they translate, but they don't. Where's the sin? They went to God, you see, and the kavod of the Lord appeared to them, that radiant, saving presence. The kavod appeared to them. Take your staff, assemble the community, you and your brother Aaron, and in their presence, order the rock to yield its waters. Now, ever since this tradition, which would antedate even the writing of the Old Testament, has been around, people have said, well, what did he do wrong? Well, take your staff and order the rock. It doesn't say hit the rock, but there's more. Listen to me, you rebels. Are we to bring water for you out of this rock? Are we? No. God. You see, he's mad and he's self-reliant just enough to ruin his leadership. And so the punishment, he never gets into the land to which he's been leading these people. It's not living dependent on God. St. John Vianney, who was not dumb, he just did, in fact he was brilliant in some ways, but he wasn't good at languages, and so he had his problem with Latin, that's what he had his problem with. And then, remember, his education took place, I guess you just read all that, in the middle of the French Revolution. People were being killed for what he was trying to do. But he was not self-reliant. And that's what made him that way. Now, Peter, endowed by a special grace from the Father, recognizes Jesus and says so. And that, you see, is enough for our Lord to say to him, it's on this, you're Kephah, you are Cephas or Petros, and upon this Kephah I will build my church. Probably alluding to the fact that there was a long tradition that the temple was built on the rock that is at the center of the earth, and that under that rock it was like a big cork keeping the evil spirits from coming up from the underworld. And so now Peter, you are going to be that rock. I'm going to build my church, my temple, on you. And the gates of hell will never get through. You will hold them in. You will hold them down. Quite a job for a pope, huh? And for us. So far, so good. Like Moses, you know, he's doing fine. And then, Jesus predicts his passion. And Peter says, you know, Lord, you've got it all wrong. You know, presumption, again. You see, God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. And he gets it. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. I just predicted Satan wouldn't get out because of you. Now you're playing his role. See, this is presumption again. And he calls him Satan. You're an obstacle to me. Why? Because you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. So, what's the secret? How do we do God's will with our whole heart and soul and lead other people to the Lord and yet not get presumptuous? How do we do both? Well, in the beginning, it's simple common sense because our own life is so shot through with sin, there's no way we could be presumptuous. But as we go along, we get out of the worst part of it anyway. Now what? Affection for God. Love God. And know who it is who is working in us. See, I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. That is transforming union. And that's where we're headed. We've only got one life to get from 0 to 100 in 60 years, 70, 80, whatever years we got to get there. You see? And so it's in hanging around with God and getting rid of vices. We used to speak a lot in the community about the principle of change. Here it is, August 2011, right? If I'm still dealing with sin in the same way as I was in January 2011, there's something wrong. How am I going to get to transforming union when I can't even get out of this stuff? And it's in that presumption. But you see, now they really got punished, both of them, right? God does that to us too, but you see, the secret is affection, Abba, for God. Knowing, you see, and reading so that our hearts are inflamed with this desire. The more God takes over our life, the freer we are. The more God takes over our life, the more powerful what we do is. Because it's God working in us. And the more that God works in us, the more we are effective. Because it's coming from the depth of our own center, where God is. And we're content to putz around, you know, with a sort of respectable amount of piety. And the Lord is saying, hey, don't you understand? I need saints. You've got to give me your whole life. You've got to fight against your vices. You have got to make sure you're in contact with me every day. Now, you know, if we were all back in the 1920s or something, when the whole world was so naive, we could probably get away with a lot of stuff. But not now. With this television blasting blasphemy and unchastity and oblivion of God at us all day long. The whole culture. And all those who want to form the world government starting to recognize with total clarity the biggest obstacle to that goal is the Catholic Church. And so you see, to be free of presumption, we have to be mystics. The opposite of what you think, you know. Yeah, our sins ought to embarrass us enough, but that's not how we get where the Lord wants us. It's yielding to God, having an affection for him. This man I mentioned before, Marius McAuliffe, an Irish Franciscan. And he was talking, and he said, you know, he was talking to me, I remember now. It wasn't just in one of those. He was saying, now, you know, people think that when you get to have mystical graces, there's a big danger you'll be proud. He said, that's crazy. When you go to church and you can't move a muscle until God moves, it's quite humiliating. It's the opposite. You see? You've got to wait for God to move. That's what Moses didn't do. Shall we bring forth water for you? No. God will. Well, how do we get there? You know, we can all slap our wrist and say, stop that. No. We have to fall in love with God so that intuitively in the depth of our being we understand that being taken over by God is to find our true self and to be free. So, that's the... Just so happens the two readings today, as I look at them, are warnings against presumption and an invitation to move and move and move and change and yield to God even when He's pushing us further than we want to go. So that before we die, we could say, I live. Now not I, Christ lives in me. Finally, I've arrived at being myself.